You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, I'm begging you, call me Sully. In this episode, we are bringing aboard Stacy Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees. I think we have some things to talk about. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You know how to listen to podcasts. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're at the site lockedonmlb.com. You get in your car. You can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network where it is your team every day. You can listen to Locked On Yankees because it's been hysterical recently. You can also listen to my new friend Gabrielle at Locked On Red Sox, my new friend Javier at Locked On Padres, my new friend AJ at Locked On Blue Jays. I think you're detecting a pattern here. We've got all your teams and they're all lined up. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB. You can follow me. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let's get right to it. The person who has the first Locked On podcast I ever listened to, who dragged me into this Locked On world, much to my great pleasure, and whose podcast has been absolutely on fire recently, I have the great pleasure to have an impromptu guest spot with my friend Stacy Gatsoulias. Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I'm good, Sully. How are you?
Weird. This is weird. This is a weird offseason. Remember last year, trying to fill shows like, well, another day, Machado's not signed.
Harper's not signed.
Yeah, Harper's not signed. Keuchel's not signed. Yeah, all right, well, another day. Let's talk about beach balls. Nope. Do you get the feeling like you need to do like three episodes a day just to keep up with everything?
Well, it's funny because I feel like I'm apologizing every day for constantly talking about the cheating scandal, but that's all that anyone else is talking about.
Exactly. I mean, there's at some point you have to acknowledge that this is the story. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you kind of want to talk about other things, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, spring training is really just starting. Games haven't even started yet. You know, position players are just showing up to camp. And basically what you have is tons of quotes from people anyway. Even if the cheating scandal wasn't happening, you just hear canned quotes from players arriving.
Yeah.
And now, instead, we have players speaking out on what happened and how bad the investigation was, how bad the punishments were. And, I mean, we even got Mike Trout speaking out about it.
So and he doesn't speak out against anything.
Yes.
He's more white bread than the Subway sandwiches he hawks. But, you know, I think I got to say this, and this is kind of in defense of you and me and the other Locked On people. If let's say this was 79 AD, the year 79 of the Common Era, and we were doing Locked On Pompeii, we'd still be talking about the volcano. It's not like, okay, enough of the volcano. We got it. No, the volcano erupted. It destroyed Pompeii. At some point, you got to say, okay, enough of the volcano. Let's talk about fishing. No, you got to talk about the thing that's happening. And quite frankly, this is having some serious ramifications. It could continue to have serious ramifications because the people in charge are screwing it up so much. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, you can't, if I was saying this to my kids when they were on the show yesterday, if they had just owned up to everything, like in December and January, before the storm really hit, this would be bad, but it's the compounding, the lying and the being out of touch is what's bringing up the bile, I think.
Yes, they are completely tone deaf. They supposedly, here's the problem. The day that they cordoned off the spring training facilities because no one was allowed in because they were going to talk to everyone, position players and pitchers, and kind of give them, I guess, a lesson on what to say when they were asked about this stuff. And that did not help at all. And if we learned anything from the Astros within the last few months, after what happened with Brandon Topman, their PR department is an S show. So we sort of should have expected all of these tone deaf answers and not being apologetic about anything answers, because they don't really sound like they're sorry.
No, no, they got caught. There's a big difference.
Yes. And that's what I keep saying. They're not sorry about anything. They're sorry that they got caught doing it.
Well, you brought up the great quote yesterday. Who said it yesterday? Was it Miguel Andujar? Who had the thing about the video game controller?
Oh, Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres, thank you. Sorry, I got my Yankee infielders mixed up. But tell the listeners of Locked On MLB what Gleyber Torres said, because I thought there no better analogy than for this.
Gleyber Torres regularly plays video games with Luis Severino, and he'll watch what Severino does on the controller, and then he'll end up winning, and he'll keep doing it without Severino knowing, because he keeps winning. So Gleyber Torres came out on Monday saying, why should we believe that the Astros cheated in 2017, won the championship, and then didn't continue to cheat in 2018 and 2019 after winning the championship?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it boils down to that. They were caught. They were caught because Mike Fiers came out and said, and apparently there had been some rumblings behind the scenes of this beforehand, but they were caught. And I kept thinking about, when I kept hearing about the buzzers, I don't know how familiar you are with the Scorsese film Casino, but there was the scene where they catch the dudes who have the Morse code buzzer on his leg. And they strip him down, and he says, okay, you can have the hammer and the money, or you can leave without the money. That's your choice. And that's the commissioner of baseball I want. I know Ace Rothstein was not a good guy, but we need someone to say, okay, let's strip down the shirt. Let's strip down the thing like the dude had with the I guess it was on his inner thigh, which had the Morse code thing, and they smashed his hand with the hammer. I'm not saying they should smash Jose Altuve's hand with a hammer, but there has to be a sense of accountability, because at that point, let's go over another weird thing that Manfred said, the idea of, well, being caught and being embarrassed and having to ask questions is punishment enough. Ace Rothstein knew that saying, hey, you guys cheated that money from me, you should be embarrassed for that. No, they won. And the idea that they wouldn't do it again, the line from Casino was, you know, they always get too greedy. Of course they're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that line from Manfred set me off so much on Sunday. I actually had to turn the press conference off because I couldn't deal with his nervous laughter, the way he was treating things like a joke. But that answer, that whole, oh, well, you know, them having to answer for this and having to keep dealing with the questions for the rest of their lives is punishment enough. No, it's not.
No, under no circumstance. I mean, I made the analogy with my kids, like if you rob a bank and the bank manager comes up, you said, oh, boy, you should feel bad now. Keep the money, but feel really bad. I mean, what deterrent is that? I ask with no irony, what deterrent is there for any other team doing this now? If we've set the precedent that if you do this, your punishment is someone wagging a finger at you, I'd do it again.
No, it's really not a punishment. What did they do to the Astros aside from they got rid of the manager, they got rid of Lou now? Did something with, was it picks? Draft picks?
Yeah, great. You don't get to, you don't get a catcher from Cal State Fullerton. Really? It's not even my number one pick. You're going to get, really? There you go. Congratulations. And you find them the same amount of money that, you know, that Crane has would tip his limo driver, you know?
Right.
I mean, and Crane going on saying, I don't think this helped us win. So, well, then why did you do it? You know, this is insane. And I've jokingly said, and you may hang up on me here. I said the one positive thing is it prevented us from seeing two Yankee pennants, but at the same time, I'm finding myself feeling sympathy for the Yankees. I want you to really think about that for a second.
Wow, Sully.
I want you to hear the words coming out of my mouth. I was fine with the Astros beating the Yankees in 2015, 2017, 2019 because I felt it was fair and square. I felt like, you know what, the Yankees just were a step behind the Astros. But I think about some of those players on the Yankees who are, yeah, they're Yankees, therefore I hate them, and I think they're bile, and I think they're horrible individuals. But that being said, are likable, quality players. And you think, like, I would much rather see them lose because a team beat them as opposed to a team cheated them. Right. And that's basic sports, you know? I mean, when we think about a pure team, like a team that's just all good, like the 2004 Red Sox, they're just filled with goodness and only pure people, none of them who cheated or took PEDs or anything, just good quality individuals, every single one of them.
Okay, I was wondering if you were being sarcastic there. Okay,
I was wondering if you, hung up, but okay, all right, I'm trying to push buttons there a little bit, but I hope you did note the fact that I said, yeah, the Yankees were kind of screwed, and that's not right. That's not right.
And I just, like, as we keep saying, I said on my show on Monday, I want the Astros to shut up because everything they say is wrong. But then the other part of me doesn't want them to shut up because they just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper. And it's kind of funny just to see how bad they're so bad at this. It's so terrible.
And let me just say one other thing. I am emotionally getting prepared for having to emotionally let go of 2018. I'm building the life rafts right now. It's kind of like around 2008 or 2009, I wrote a blog post saying, hey, Red Sox fans, get ready. We're going to hear something about Big Poppy eventually. Just be prepared. And a year later, we found out stuff about Big Poppy. And it was the least surprising revelation since the news story that the sun rose and the sun set one day. But, you know, I'm emotionally getting prepared to sort of say, yeah, 2018 was fun, but we're probably going to have to stop bragging about it pretty soon. And it's easier to say that with the other titles still to cling to, like a koala. But, I would not stun me at all to know that, yeah, Alex Cora showed up, and all of a sudden, the Red Sox had their greatest year ever. And when you look at the sum of the parts, I mean, it was a good team. I mean, they were a good team beforehand. They won the division the previous two seasons. It wasn't like it was the Bobby Valentine season the year before. But it would not stun me if the investigation showed that Cora was doing the – why wouldn't they do the same thing?
Right, right.
But let's boil down to that. Like, you have proof of that? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he do something?
Like Gleyber Torres said, if you won doing it that way, then why wouldn't you try and do it again?
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm proud of that. I'm just saying it'd be dumb not to if the punishment is someone saying, ooh, you. No, there's no deterrent. So, look, I want to talk to you about another thing, which has nothing to do, actually, with the cheating scandal, but I am going to change gears here for a little bit because you are a fellow Locked On podcaster, so you know a little bit of what I'm talking about, and this is going to be the Fantasy Minute. This is a rare dual Fantasy Minute where I have a guest on to talk about it, and this is brought to you by League Commish. Now, I tease this to you a little bit. You don't know what player I'm going to talk about right now, but I am going to talk about a Yankee, and a Yankee who I think in many ways is one of the most important players in baseball, even though last year he only played in three games. And I think I just gave away of who I'm talking about. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Wait, who only played in three games? I mean, we had 30 guys who were injured.
Yes. All right. I'll tell you who I'll do it. Luis Severino.
Okay, I was going to say.
I think Luis Severino is one of the most, in terms of the bouncing one way or another, the direction of the Yankees in 2020, in many ways, he is a keystone for them. That if he can have a true bounce back year, that in the previous two seasons, he was an elite pitcher. He certainly was an all-star caliber pitcher. He, in 2017, he finished third in the Cy Young race, and he had a wonderful 2018. And last year, he didn't start to pitch. I think his first start was in September, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm right about that, right? He didn't pitch until then. And when he did pitch, he pitched well, but they guarded his innings like crazy. He only pitched 4 innings a start, and that included his 2 starts that he had in the postseason, which he didn't fare badly in either one, but they held him back for only 4 starts. And when you have a bullpen like the Yankees did last year, that could work. But when you consider the fact that he's only, 26 years old, he had been a decent inning pitcher, say that 3 times fast, approaching 200 innings in the previous 2 years, being an elite pitcher, if he can come back and give them, they're not asking him to be the ace. That's why they're paying the money to Gerrit Cole. They're not really even asking him to be the number 2 starter because of, I think, Tanaka does a good job of filling that role. But with the injury of Paxton and with the fact that no one knows what the heck you're going to get out of Jay Happ, if Severino can have a bounce back season where he's even an effective number 3 starter, then the Yankees can just easily write in 95 wins and probably 100 and moonwalk to the AL East title. I'm not saying that to jinx them. I'm saying that just as a baseball analysis here. Now, if he falls back, then this puts the Yankees in a tough spot, I think, because while they're stacked and loaded, they won't have the pitching depth to win the East, especially if you take Paxton out of the title. So what are your thoughts on Severino moving forward to the next season?
I just want him to survive spring training. Because, you know, last season was, I had never seen anything like it in my 45 years on Earth as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, it was obscene, yeah.
And the fact that they still won 103 games with 30 guys on the IL, with Severino only making that many starts, with Stanton only playing in 9 games, with Aaron Judge missing a whole bunch of time, Gary Sanchez constantly hurt. It was, I don't understand how they pulled off last year. And I think, like you said, if Severino pitches at a number 3 starter level, that would be really helpful to the Yankees. Because as you said, we don't know what is going to happen with Jay Happ. Kind of hoping that since he knows Gerrit Cole well, and Gerrit Cole is the type of pitcher who likes to talk pitching, mm-hmm. and he likes to work with the other guys that he pitches with, maybe he'll rub off on Jay Happ. We'll see. You know, Domingo Herman's coming back after his domestic violence suspension. Yeah. I mean, not thrilled about that, but you got Jordan Montgomery in there. So, you know, Severino being like the tent pole in the middle, I think would work very well.
All right. Well, that is our thoughts on Severino, who I think could be a big player if he comes through in giving the Yankees the pitching depth that they need to win the East. Hey, Stacy, what are you doing for the game? That's a universal question, I grant you. Now, whether you're the casual follower, the tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less, or the makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports. And Stacy Gatsoulias, let me tell you, this league commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences, get matched, and approve. And what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say approve of that match before any commitment on your end. Say that 3 times fast. Sign up with league commish by February 29th. Yes, it's a leap year. They're adding another day. League Commish added another day to February for sign up and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section of the sign up form. The first 25 people sign up using our code receive their first match free. Can you beat that, Stacey Gatsoulias?
No.
Then what are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. All right. I've been avoiding this. I've talked about me having sympathy for the Yankees. I've talked about me emotionally being ready to vacate the 2018 title. So I hope you've noticed I've been fair and balanced in this podcast.
Yes. Yes. I'm very proud of you. I know how hard this is for you.
Yes. This is like you're talking to someone like they're coming out of rehab here. I am angry. I am angry at the Red Sox. I am very angry at the Red Sox because of the Mookie Betts deal where they dumped their MVP and the John Henry wrote this letter saying, why are you going to go? Bye. You know, we're just trying to save some money. You know, just we're a nickel and dime organization. We're just a mom and pop shop trying to get by. Clipping coupons. Can't sign Mookie Betts. I guarantee you when Aaron Judge is going to be ready for free agencies, he's still this level player. Aaron Judge is going to be signed with the Yankees to a long-term deal. But the thing that I feel like you and I have been cheated of, you and me, who have been with the Red Sox and Yankees over these last bunch of decades, is a brand new chapter to the rivalry that features each team having a homegrown MVP on their team, not someone swiped from another team that they can spend their whole prime with the team, and neither club, you know, chances are the Yankees are going to win a World Series in the next couple of years. I say that with hoping that I'm jinxing them, but I think that's going to happen. That the two teams could have recent World Series titles with homegrown stars moving forward and seeing the rivalry without any of the you haven't won forever baggage, taking on a new life. And instead, the Red Sox decided to cut corners and trade away the centerpiece of the team, and I'm angry. But you are not a Red Sox fan. You are a Yankee fan. Tell me, from your perspective, watching the implosion of the Red Sox just 2 years after winning possibly a tainted World Series title.
Well, as you said, I find it amusing that John Henry is like crying poverty. And that suddenly Boston is a small market team and can't afford to keep their MVP, so they needed to trade him away, along with David Price.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, as a Yankee fan, I'm happy to not see Mookie Betts in the lineup 18, 19, you know, times a year and in the playoffs, and unless the Yankees and the Dodgers meet in the World Series, that would
then
be
that's a different situation. You're already in the World Series.
Right. But,
sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
That's an interesting, what you said about the whole rivalry and homegrown and having that kind of a core for each team, that would have been fun. You're right. And John Henry ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about in the late 70s, the Red Sox had a lot of homegrown stars like Fisk and Lynn and Rice and Yastrzemski. And Rick Burleson and all of them were on the team. And the Yankees had players, a lot of them they did swipe from other teams, but you identified with them as Yankees, whether it was Nettles or Chambliss or Mickey Rivers, and Munson was homegrown, and Roy White was homegrown. But you understand what I'm saying here, that they're like mm-hmm. players that you really identified. And imagine what that rivalry or the 04, the 2003 to 2005 years, there are both teams. There was a couple of homegrown players on the Sox, but they were mainly swiped from other teams. And the Yankees had their core, but they also grabbed a lot of other players as well. This would have just felt different, especially because, you know, Judge is the most popular Yankee, as well he should be. He's a tremendous player. He is incredibly likable and easy to root for. I mean, just from as a baseball point of view. And I felt the same for Mookie. I mean, whether or not you liked Mookie or not, I mean, I didn't like Aaron because he was a Yankee, but as a baseball fan, of course I appreciated him. I think he's tremendous. And I'm sure you had the same feeling for Mookie Betts.
That's what a lot of Yankee fans are saying now. They're saying, well, now I can root for Mookie Betts because he's not on the Red Sox anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's an undeniably exciting player who is, you know, who came up big in big games and, you know, and was the MVP of the league. I mean, and has been a top 10 MVP player for most of his full seasons, just like Judge has been as well. And it really, I feel cheated that we had a chance to move forward. We saw like glimpses of that with, you know, Jeter versus Nomar during the 90s and the early 2000s, or in the late 70s, you had Fisk versus Munson kind of arguments. And we had a chance to do that with the two homegrown players, and the Yankees are going to have it. The Yankees, if he is healthy, he is going to spend his entire prime with the Yankees, and number 99 will be in Monument Park, and Michael Kay will say something really long and poetic about he brought us back to the days of spring and DiMaggio and blah, 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 blah. And Red Sox fans are going to look over. And this is the thing that gets me mad is like, this is like old Red Sox. The Red Sox, I actually wrote a roster of the beloved stars who awkwardly left the Red Sox, whether it was Fisk, whether it was Mo Vaughn, whether it was Nomar, whether it was Louis Tiant or Dwight Evans or Wade Boggs or Roger Clemens. All these people left the Red Sox in a huff. Terry Francona is another one. And why did we have to throw Mookie Betts onto that pile? You know, drives me crazy. I need a hug.
You're like 3,000 miles away from me.
Yeah, and you're also covered. You have cats near you, so I'll be, if you show up, you would have like cat hair on you. You'd have to wear a new sweater or something like that.
Yes.
Not. I would assume you would change. I that was mean of me.
I would.
To assume that you would just be covered like a cat hair at the time. But I'm saying maybe you're the wrong person to ask for a hug 3,000 miles away. But yeah, that's, you know, this is the sort of thing that's good for baseball, to have the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry like that. And now we don't have it.
Especially with what we were just talking about, with the whole controversy of the winter, it would have been nice to have that. I mean, I know fans of other teams are so sick of the Yankees and the Red Sox, but I think deep down they kind of like watching them beat up each other, you know? So, yeah, it would have been a good salve. Is that the word for?
Sure. I'll let it slide. Either way, I'm not gonna care. I'm so mad at my team. So mad at my team. Because the other thing is this: let's say the Red Sox take a few. I mean, I expect them to take a step or two back anyway. But let's say they, you know, like in 2013, they took a few steps back and then move forward, and they were back in the playoffs by 2016. Let's say there's a 2-year gap and they're back in the playoffs by 2022. Okay, Betts will still be good. So will Devers, so will Bogarts, and so will Benintendi. So it's like you had this little core that already has a World Series ring that you know that in a few years when the Red Sox have built up a new pitching staff and a team around them, that group will still be good. And the fans will say, ah, oh, there's our team that we can cheer for. But no. He's going to be a Dodger, and then he'll be a free agent, and then inevitably some crazy owner like the Rangers or the Orioles will pay him $5 grillion a year and to make a splash. You know that's going to happen. And you're like, why the heck is he with the Mariners or some team like that? And it's because that team decided, we got to win our fan base back. Mookie Betts, what do you want? And then he'll be signed with that, and Red Sox fans will be like, he should be a Red Sox forever. Like Aaron Judge will be a Yankee forever. I guess I shouldn't turn to you for sympathy. It's going to be a good year for the Yankees, and I'm trying to curse them, but I don't think any amount of cursing on my part is going to help matters out. So, anyway, so where can people hear you, Stacey Gutsoulias?
They can hear me every Monday through Friday on Locked On Yankees.
And you know what, folks, I do love Locked On Yankees, and I do listen to it all the time. It's a really, it's funny, it's informed, but doesn't take itself, you know, you don't treat it like you're covering the impeachment trial. I mean, you treat it like, you know, it's fun baseball, but it's from a serious fan, and it's a really good show, and you should all listen to it. And I have subscribed to it for a while now, so you are a terrific podcaster, and I've, you know, and I'm glad to see that you're continuing to do it, especially for this year. As we all know, the Yankees will start their first of five straight World Series titles starting in 2020. Cue the parades. Greatest Yankee team since the 50s. Am I right?
I love how you're trying to jinx them. And it's funny because you would think with, like I was talking about earlier, all those injuries last year, they should have been bad. And they weren't.
They weren't. Oh, they should have. They should have been where the Red Sox were, hanging around 85 wins.
Yeah.
You know, if you had told me all that things that Severino was going to have fewer starts than Jonathan Loaisiga, and Giancarlo Stanton would not be a factor, and I think what Betances pitched, what, one game, two games,
yeah,
something like
two,
that,
two in, like a two outs. I think he pitched.
It was something insane like that. It was like we. That, you know, they had middle infielders pitching more than Betances, and say, oh, you know, if they're going to be relying mainly on DJ LeMahieu, oh, well, then they're effed. And they weren't. They had a wonderful season last year. And the only thing that prevented them from going to the World Series was a trash can.
No, it was the buzzer.
Oh, buzzers. That's right. The buzzer. That's right. A buzzer. Yes. Oh, dear. All right. Well, listen to Locked On. I almost called it Locked On Stacy. Listen to Locked On Yankees, and you can follow us on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and do all that stuff you heard me say at the beginning. I'm too depressed to go through the whole end part. You know how to do this. If you listen to this point, you know all that. All right, well, talking and getting depressed about the state of the Red Sox and the state of baseball, but at least Stacy Gutsalius is happy, and I have that to cling to. This has been the Locked On MLB podcast for the 19th day of February 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Stacy, what can people call me?
Sully.
All right.